Welcome to the Florida Real Estate and Entrepreneur Podcast, where we interview the best and the brightest business and real estate leaders. Our mission is to inspire and help 1,000 entrepreneurs to start and succeed in real estate and entrepreneurship. We will give you the exact playbook to succeed in your business through the experience of those who blaze the path. We're bringing the what's working today directly to you. Let's get started. Welcome back to the Florida Real Estate and Entrepreneur Podcast. Today, I have with me Alexandra Stapleton Smith. Welcome, Alexandra. Thank you so much for coming today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Yeah, super awesome. Well, we got connected. You have an incredible story, and you were actually born in England. You grew up in Germany, and you wanted to be an attorney growing up, which is really fascinating to see where you are now based on where you thought you might be. You definitely went through some challenges. You moved, you graduated high school early. You moved from the UK, Germany, over to the United States. You had some babies young, it sounds like. Then you moved back to the UK, and then you came back and you were able to start some businesses. So why don't you catch us up to speed and tell us how you went from that start to growing and running businesses here in the United States?
Yeah, thank you, Adam. Yeah, so I actually, at the age of 14, started living on my own. My dad actually rented me a room in a shared household. I graduated high school at 16, which was kind of unusual even back then to graduate so early. And I went into the world of banking and finance, starting off as a bank teller. I worked my way up through to commercial business development. I also ended up becoming a wealth manager. I was licensed in doing that as well. And met a guy, fell head over heels in love at 18, got married, moved to the States, had my first daughter. Things didn't work out. So I went back home, kind of refocused, went back into banking and finance, and kind of accidentally ended up at Jaguar Land Rover, the car company, in their chassis business office. And an opportunity came up to help them build out factories around the world in contracts management and things like that. And as I said to you, I loved law. I actually went and did a year of law school. And I was like, actually, you know what? I don't want to do this. I ended up going and doing mechanical engineering. And I used to do that in the evenings part-time. And I worked at Jaguar during the day. And I was lucky I got to go to Dubai and Shanghai and Brazil and all these amazing places and help them build facilities around the world. And ended up getting actually back with my high school sweetheart. We got married, had another daughter. He got an opportunity in Akron, Ohio, of all places. Not really the place that people dream of when they say, you know, hey, I'm going to move to the States. But that's where we ended up. And I was sitting there and I was so bored. I'm not good at being a stay-at-home mom. I mean, kudos to any woman out there who does it. It's not for me. Like, I just was sitting there. It's like, okay, what do I do? What do I do? And I've always been arty, crafty. I love to make things. So I ended up starting a YouTube channel, and it was actually, how do I make handmade cards? Of all the things to pick, I decided handmade cards was the one I was going to go with. So I built a YouTube channel, built that up. I worked with Michaels and Joann's and Crayola. Again, amazing opportunities. I got to travel with them, teach for them. And eventually I kind of got to the point of, okay, I'm doing great with this affiliate revenue, which is a great source of income, but I'm an engineer. I know how to source products. I know how to develop products. So I ended up creating my own product range, selling that, building an e-commerce brand. I had laser cutters. I made rubber stamps with vulcanizers. We had print presses. I mean, we had the whole lot. Our whole house was a warehouse, and it was a lot of fun. Sadly, that kind of phase of my life ended. My daughters and I became victims of a domestic violence relationship, and the best thing to do was just to walk away. So kind of, you know, mid-30s, sitting there going, okay, this is great. I've lost everything. You know, Russell Brunson has a great book about, you know, what would I do if I lost everything? I did actually go and read that. I'm like, okay, so what do I do? What do I love to do? Well, I love to market and I love to be creative. I have an engineering background. Numbers is my jam. How can I kind of bring all of that together and rebuild something? So I decided to start a digital marketing agency, having built my own online brands, built that presence through YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, all those kinds of things. And I reached out to some local businesses, took on some of my first clients. And then serendipitously, I met this guy who I'd actually known a long time, but we'd never really like connected and talked. And he was in the construction industry and looking for some help with marketing. So he brought me on board to help him with marketing. So he has a groundworks company. We now work together as a partnership, and we do lot clearing, we do grading, we do dirt delivery, things I never thought I would need to know. And then on the side of that, we built an HVAC and dry event cleaning company where we have technicians, they go out, they, you know, all of that kind of thing. So that's a great kind of additional, almost passive source of income as well. Because we get the leads, we have the technicians, we send them out and we just do a split with them. And from there, we ended up wanting to build a duplex. We just bought land. We're about to, we're getting permits right now to build our first duplex. And then the idea being to take that, leverage it, build the next one, and kind of build that generational wealth and that income for our futures. And then on the side, doing all this kind of real estate, I happened to meet a real estate guy, ended up doing some marketing for him, met some great friends. And we all share this passion for helping single moms, stay-at-home moms, and women entrepreneurs enter real estate investing. And a lot of people say, well, I need credit, I need money, I need this, I need that. And the idea is to say to them, look, if you are nothing, maybe you've just exited a bad relationship, maybe you're a stay-at-home mom and you just want to make some side hustle money, or you need to help support the family. You know, it's tough times. Inflation is high. We're all kind of struggling. We will show you how to make money through real estate wholesaling, and you can come on board, help us bring us deals, help us analyze them, and we'll split the profits with you. So we'll do all kind of the heavy lifting on the funding side, but you help us find, analyze, negotiate all of those deals, and then we'll do a profit split with you. And then that way you can enter that world, build up some wealth, and then start doing it all on your own as well. So that's kind of how I got from, I guess, there to here.
Yeah, what an incredible story. And when I look at a lot of business leaders, one of the common trends is a really significant degree of resilience. Most people I know that are the overnight success, as we call it, and you see these folks on social media because they're doing great marketing and you're seeing all their wins, and you start to learn about these people and they've all overcome significant obstacles in their lives and have rebuilt themselves, rebuilt their businesses, pivoted multiple times to get to where they are today. And your story is exactly in line with that. It's really incredible. I'd like to go back a little bit to the first part that you built before you had the split. I think that was your second husband. Is that correct?
Yeah. So we had an arts and crafts business. Yeah.
So you build this, you know, what's fascinating, you may not know this, but my wife's stay-at-home mom. My kids are about 4 years apart. So we thought we'd have them close together. She'd be back in the workforce after, 5 years. Once they went back to school was kind of our plan, but then we had them almost 5 years apart. So you're talking about a decade before they're both in school together. And she started an influencer business called Let's Create and Celebrate. Mm-hmm. It's really just an Instagram, and all those big brands you're talking about, the big box store Cricut and the crafty type folks pay her to post on Instagram for user generated content. Really fascinating ecosystem and business there. So you had that business. What did that business look like? Like, was it were you producing a ton of revenue in it? Was it just like really, really profitable with good margins? Was it a lot of work? Was it not a lot of work? Just kind of help people understand what that looked like and some of the specifics of it.
Yeah, it was a huge amount of work. And honestly, I would say product-based businesses, if I ever had the choice, I would steer well clear of them again. I mean, just holding that inventory, making sure you've got it when you need it, not having too much of something else. I mean, a lot of things we used to make on demand. So with mine, and my ex-husband also had a degree in engineering. So together, we had print presses and we had laser cutters and those things. So we could print and make a lot of things on demand, which definitely helped with the inventory. But I would say, that's not the average business owner is going to have the skills and knowledge to do that. We just happened to come from that background. We were kind of lucky in that way. But yeah, product-based businesses are really hard. Profit margins were good, but huge amounts of work. I mean, I kind of had it, as you mentioned, this ecosystem. So the idea was, if you found me on YouTube, I'm using my products, so you want to go and buy them. But if you bought a product, then there was a QR code that took you to the YouTube channel of how to use it. So we kind of got you into that ecosystem. And I would do online events. We used ClickFunnels to get people in with lead magnets. We used to do one day intensive, come make 20 Christmas cards in a day type of deals. And then, of course, we were upselling you the products, and then we were upselling you into retreats and, kinds of things like that. So we still structured it in that way. But yeah, huge, huge amounts of work went into that.
Yeah, that's incredible. What's really cool is you took this engineering background, you made an actual product that you sold, which people would consider very traditional business. But you have this, you've also engrossed yourself into this really unique world. You mentioned Russell and kind of ClickFunnels, which is a total marketing world that really teaches people to build funnels and bring people into their ecosystem and how to monetize those folks. So that's really cool when you can combine marketing with an actual product or with something that you're selling, because it's, you know, it's often said it's not the best product, it's the best known product that makes money.
Right.
Okay. So you did that. It was a lot of work. So you realize I don't necessarily love the product-based business. And Russell's business is primarily built off of information marketing. So selling information and also software with ClickFunnels. You kind of move on. So was this also part of your affiliate? You're obviously making affiliate money on this as a part of that business, or was the affiliate business something separate?
No, I was doing the affiliate. So before I had my own products, I was affiliating. And also, you know, we didn't carry everything that the crafter needed. So, you know, we would sell maybe 80% of it, and then the rest would be affiliate links as well. So we were kind of doing a little bit of both, just making sure that basically whatever product we recommended, there was a place you could go buy it and we were being compensated for it.
Yeah, which I think is really powerful because you're putting somebody else's product that you can get behind in front of people. I think a lot of people don't know that there's actually big business around affiliate marketing, and there are people making a lot of money just in affiliates. So that's, really cool. If somebody, let's say we're talking to an entrepreneur on here, we get a lot of real estate agents and people like that in our ecosystem, and they wanted to make extra money, what would you tell them if they wanted to become some type of an affiliate business? What kind of skills would they need? How would they do something like that?
So the one thing I always was very key in our values with the company was finding products we believed in, we used ourselves, and that we had trust in. Because if you're an influencer, you know, I used to go to all the big influencer summits and things, and you'd watch these influencers, and one day they're recommending toothpaste, and the next day they're recommending, I don't know, a soap. But then 3 days later, there's a different soap. And it's like, well, do I want that soap or do I want that soap? So it's making sure you just stay true to yourself. So if you're a real estate agent and you want to work with partners, whether that's home inspectors or title agencies, make sure it's someone that you know, like, and trust, and you're going to put that faith into and be loyal to them. Because if your customers, it's about staging houses, you know, and Amazon picks and things, if people see you flip-flopping, they're not going to know, like, and trust you to buy from you and use those affiliate links. So you have to do that with your vendors and with the image that you portray and the products you're portraying. So just kind of really be thoughtful and have high intention when you're selecting and what you're showing on your socials.
Yeah, that's really impactful. So was it around this time that you moved, at some point you moved from Akron, Ohio, which I'm sorry to hear that you were in Akron, Ohio. I'm a Michigan guy I hail from Michigan, but you know, I'm a Florida person now. So you moved from Akron, Ohio at some point down to Florida. Can you talk a little bit about why you went to Florida and how you ended up there?
Yeah, so that was about 4 years ago. I was a COVID transplant, like many, many people. My husband at the time got furloughed, and they said, well, you can work from home permanently. And we were sitting there, and I was doing a lot of work with a company actually in Sarasota. There's a sublimation company, this kind of like iron-on ink type thing. And all of that is made down here. And I was working with them, and I happened to see this beautiful house, and I went and put an offer, and I actually went home and I'm like, well, I'm moving to Florida. You can come with me or not, but I put an offer in on a house. So we ended up moving down to Florida. And that's when I actually started the product-based side of the business in conjunction kind of with these iron-on ink people. They kind of helped me get the foot into the door with the products and things, and we helped each other. So yeah, so I moved down to Florida. At the same time, I decided that, you know, it's COVID and I'm bored. By the way, I'm going to go back to school and take on some postgrad certificates because I thought that was a great idea as well. So yeah, I'm definitely glutton for punishment at that point.
That's the other common trend I see in successful business owners is not just the resilience and the obstacles they've overcome, but also they have such an insatiable desire to learn. And there's a couple ways you can do that. You can do that with informal education or formal education, you know, go to college, get a master's degree, get a PhD, or you go and you start finding all these groups, these masterminds, these certificate programs. There's so much opportunity out there to learn, but that's certainly a common trend in successful business owners, folks who have such an insatiable desire to learn and get better and then implement those things. It's really cool because you're a shining example of that.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I love to read. I mean, you can't see it here, but I mean, I just have hundreds of books around this room. Our whole like entryway is all books. My kids love to read. You know, we spend probably more time reading than we do anything else. So yeah, for sure, definitely on the learning and the reading and and then implementing it, because not everything works. And I think that's what people don't realize is, you know, not everything works in every industry or even every area. You know, the way we market our HVAC north of us in Tampa is totally different to how we market south of us for like Northport, Port Charlotte, Punta Gorda. You have to think about, they're two different avatars, you know, and you have to market to those differently.
When you say avatar, can you explain that for maybe folks who don't know what that means? Because you're such an intuitive marketer, you know, I got to think about who this is going to, and then you backwards plan all your marketing. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes, your avatar is your dream customer. So who do you really want to sell your service to? And the way that this got ingrained in me is actually when I had the product business, is I worked with HSN. And their avatar is Linda. She's 56. She lives here. She has these kids. She reads these magazines. I mean, they go down to the nth detail. And when you sit with the buyers at HSN, they're like, okay, would Linda buy this? How would I sell this to Linda? Is this something that, and it's so ingrained in their psyche that they taught me this amazing lesson about, you know, always having your avatar in mind. So in Tampa, our avatar is going to be Katie, and she's a, you know, 35 to 45 working woman. She has a family and kids. She's busy. Whereas when I'm talking more to like Northport, Venice, Naples, you know, I'm probably going to have Cynthia, who's going to be more like 65 to 75. You know, she's retired. It's just a different person you're marketing to. So your message needs to be different. Where you market needs to be different. All of those things, the way that you approach the person needs to be different.
Yeah, that's, you start with the end in mind. Who is going to buy this product? We need to know everything about who that person is, down to all those details you said, before you start putting anything in front of them, because your ad copy needs to talk to that person directly. And you're obviously a good digital marketer because you know that. So, okay, so now you're in Florida. You're operating in the Sarasota up to Tampa area. You've got an HVAC company that you guys are just acquiring clients, and you've got some folks who service on the back end for you. And then you find yourself also in the real estate game a little bit. So you're basically taking your marketing skills and you're coupling them with other businesses so that you can help build and grow those businesses. Talk a little bit about kind of some of the specifics about the HVAC company. Why is that the opportunity for you? How did you come upon that where you said, my skill set works really well and we can make a profitable business doing this?
Yeah, so actually as part of the agency, my background in engineering, I love coding. So I was working with a good friend of mine and we coded this super cool app. It actually goes into WordPress. And if you log into my website in Tampa, it'll say number one HVAC cleaning company in Tampa. If you log in Port Charlotte, it says number one HVAC cleaning company in Port Charlotte. So it looks where your IP address is and inserts that location for you. So you get a very customized experience. And also we found that it helps your Google SEO because there's all these versions of your page sitting in there and Google are indexing every single one. So your organic reach goes up way, way higher as well. And then I kind of got into the world of Go High Level, which is a customer relationship software, and doing lots of automations in terms of, you know, someone's interested in HVAC cleaning, for instance. At the time I was working with a locksmith. This is how I kind of came up with the system. People would say, I'm interested. We'd ping them a text and then we'd have a full conversation using AI on the text and we'd book them and everything. So there was no point of contact. It went straight into their booking system and that was kind of the lead done. So it was like this little system and SEO hack, I guess, that we kind of worked out. And I was sitting one day with a friend of mine in Northport. He has a huge roofing company. And we're sitting there and he's like, you know what I think is a really good opportunity that people are missing out on? And he said, dryer vent and HVAC vent cleaning systems. And I'm like, really? I'm like, I get mine done once a year. He said, yeah, once a year for every single home. He's like, think how many homes that is. And he's like, I'm on the roofs all the time. And I see these blocked vents and I see people aren't doing it. It's a huge fire risk. People don't realize. He's like, you need some consumer education and to go and do it. My business partner and I, we went into business. We created the company. And in the beginning, he was doing all the vent cleanings. And, you know, we've since expanded. But the idea being is we did these HVAC vents. And then our friends who are all roofers are going in, and every time they go on the roof, they're like, oh, your vent needs cleaning. You know, we can see there's lint in there. So they'll give out one of our cards. So we formed some strategic relationships. And then when we're on the roofs and we see that there might be a problem up there or a loose tile, we're like, hey, there's a loose tile up here. Call this guy. So very much creating those strategic relationships, referring business. And then, you know, this system that I have works for any kind of lead generation customer. So it works with realtors, it works with off-market deals, it works with locksmiths, you know, any kind of service-based industry that needs leads. So that's where I've kind of doubled down in my digital marketing agency, is now I just work with contractors, you know, plumbers, lead gen, realtors, anyone in kind of the real estate space or anyone who services homes to help them generate more leads.
Oh, that's so awesome. Okay, we'll have to dig into this just a little bit to talk about your digital marketing agency, which is the primacy of your business today, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you've got this really unique set of skills where you're not just a good marketer, you also have some system skills. And then you couple a program like Go High Level, which allows you to basically build anything you want in a very intuitive way where you can, you know, it's primarily designed to create a system to acquire clients and then nurture those clients. And then ultimately those clients become revenue. So do you sell it as, do you have a like a white labeled software as a service for these service-based industries, or do you just partner with them? What does that look like?
Yeah, well, it depends really on the business. So some of them I've actually come in and I've taken like working for equity, but you know, usually we come in, we can white label it with their branding and everything on. So to the customer's front end, it looks like it's Joe Smith, the locksmith. And here's his piece of software. And he, you know, he does that. And the nice thing is we've created, as you say, at Go High Level, you can build anything. We've even built in feedback loops to Facebook that says, hey, this was a good lead, this was a bad lead, give me more of these good ones. So we've even kind of built in those kinds of things with it as well. So people can buy it as a package and run with it. We can help them customize it, or, you know, we can really kind of come in, run it and work with them to expand the business and their service areas. We'll even kind of train VAs, we'll help them find technicians. You know, we can really help them scale the business as well.
That's incredible. So what types of companies are you working with? So I heard roofing, I heard HVAC and construction. What other types of companies are you working with?
Locksmith, plumbers, realtors. I do a lot of work with realtors to get them housing leads. But then we also do off-market leads as well, you know, because it just works exactly the same way. So anyone really who works in homes and home services, we can help them, you know, build out their leads.
That's incredible. So where would, and this is supposed to be for the end of the show, we're not done yet, but where would people find you at?
So we have a Facebook page. It's called Be Seen. BE and then Seen Digital Marketing Agency. So they can go on Facebook and you can find us there. Or we also have the Deal Mavens, which is kind of now our umbrella with the coaching and the lead generation, and then also helping, you know, mums stay at home or single mums kind of build their own real estate businesses.
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, people are going to listen to this, or they're listening to this and we're talking about all this cool stuff. I know people are getting excited and they're like, well, what is it? I don't want them to wait till the end. So we had to say, so go check it out at Be Seen is the digital marketing agency. And what say the Facebook group you have?
It's Deal Mavens.
Deal Mavens. Okay, cool.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess I'll have to check it out. Check out what the Deal Mavens are doing. So that's really awesome. What specific to Florida, you obviously moved down here because COVID, and it's beautiful down in Florida, Sarasota, Tampa, like world-class area. What opportunity did you see though? I mean, you moved down here for the weather, but you're an entrepreneur. What opportunity did you see here that was maybe different than what you saw in Ohio?
So here I find there's, you know, a huge digital marketing base of people as well. I mean, you know, Dan Henry used to live around here. A good friend of mine runs the biggest organic TikTok agency. He's based in St. Pete and he runs a young professionals networking group. But we don't just go and, you know, drink and, you know, have some hors d'oeuvres. We go and we do glass blowing, or we go trampolining, or we do some really fun stuff. So he runs that. And I've met some really great people here. You know, I have another good friend. He has a robotics company and he's spending millions on Facebook ads. I mean, absolutely. When it comes to Facebook ads, he's a genius. And, you know, he's been great in kind of educating me and helping me. So just to have that network around you, that thing of never being the smartest person in the room, and surround yourself with the people who you want to be like. You know, there's so many people here who I've met, you know, now I would call really good friends. And we all help each other. You know, he's great at Facebook ads. I'm great at the visibility. And we all work together. You know, we just talk all the time. You know, we connect and it's like, oh, did you see this change in Facebook? Oh no, I wondered why my ads weren't doing so well. You know, just having those people around you. And I would say that unfortunately Akron, Ohio is not the hub for digital marketing and entrepreneurs necessarily. I mean, there's definitely businesses there, but down here, it's a younger digital marketing focused kind of crowd. And that's definitely improved my skills and helped me grow my business. And I find it like, I thrive in that environment. Like I love when we all get together and it's kind of buzzing and we're talking and we're throwing ideas around and, you know, just having that available to you, I think is priceless.
Yeah. Just another, you know, like people, you attract who you are oftentimes. And I found out as I entered the real estate industry, there are some communities that are incredibly abundant. And there's like, sometimes you see different communities that have like scarcity mindsets. And I feel like the digital marketing agency community and folks who are doing marketing and a lot of business owners have abundant mindsets. It's very lonely being an entrepreneur. So it's very easy for us as business owners to want to collaborate with other business owners. And I think that's probably one of the most powerful things. In Florida, there's so many great areas in Florida, but there's such a booming entrepreneur growth in Florida happening right now. You're seeing big companies come down here. You're seeing a lot of startups come down here. You're seeing new tech startups come down here. It's not just Silicon Valley. And it's almost like it's an incubator right now for businesses and marketing agencies and real estate companies. And there's still 3,000 to 10,000 people a day moving to the state, which is crazy. So I agree with you.
No, it's huge. It's great.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely love it. What do you think is the most important lesson you've learned in business to date? You've been through the ringer, obviously, and you've tried and probably succeeded and failed along the way. So what's the biggest lesson you've learned?
For me, it's, I think, kind of the same thing, but really, one, don't be afraid to fail. Like you're going to try things and they don't work. And that's okay. That's the learning opportunity, you know, as everyone says it. But also, if everything really goes wrong, what's the worst that can happen? You have to start again. And there's always, you know, skills you've got. I mean, I've started over 3 times and I keep saying, I'm never doing it again. This is 3rd time the charm and this is it, I'm done. But ultimately, you know, what's the worst that can happen? It all goes. And I find, you know, where does my strength sit? And here's my path and off I go. You know, everything happens for a reason. And, you know, we may not know it at the time and things may be rough and we go through some really tough times. But ultimately, yeah, don't be afraid to fail, because the worst that's happened is you take your skills and you build something even better the next time. That's at least what I've found.
Yeah, that's wonderful. You will fail. I think you're going to fail, maybe not catastrophically, but you're going to fail at things throughout your journey. If you start a business today from scratch, there are going to be things that you don't do well. You're going to fail at running a bad ad or hiring the wrong person or having the wrong bookkeeper and having to fix your P&Ls, your profit and loss statements. There's always something. And then things will go really well. You'll get it figured out. It won't get easier. You'll get better though, and you'll get it kind of figured out. And things will go smooth for a while. And then some component of the business, maybe somebody really good leaves your team, kind of falls apart a little bit. So that is why there's such a big upside opportunity as a business owner, because you're always going to be dealing with either failures, micro failures, you're learning constantly, implementing and kind of iterating in your business all the time. You're an engineer, you know, you're going to have an hypothesis, you're going to test it, you're going to see if it works. If it works, great. Can we make it better? You're going to pivot a bunch of times. So I think that advice may seem cliche to many, like don't be afraid to fail, but it's not just catastrophic failure, which that is a possibility, but it's even just micro failures that are disappointing, and being resilient to that, knowing that you're doing things that you're doing for a purpose. So you will lose if you quit.
Oh, definitely. And people ask me all the time, they're like, you know, you had this multi-million dollar amazing e-commerce business. What happened? I mean, for me, there was multiple parts. One, I needed my ex-husband. He had skills that I didn't have in engineering, you know, to run the equipment and do those kinds of things. Two, there was my own mental health and physical health. But also, you know, it's not worth compromising any of that for a business. You know, make sure you always, you know, we're great at business owners and entrepreneurs being like, work, 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 let's go, 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 build, build, build. But ultimately, if it's destroying you mentally, physically, emotionally, whatever that is, take a step back, because you can rebuild, and you can rebuild bigger, better, you know, and fix those things.
Opportunity. Look at it as an opportunity. Exactly. That's great. Well, Alexandra, I'm super grateful for you, you know, coming on here today. If people do want to reach out to you, there's probably a lot of people who are fascinated by your marketing skills, what you're providing from a software perspective or a client acquisition perspective. What's the best place for them to check out what you're doing or maybe even reach out to you?
Yeah, so the best way to reach out to me is through the Facebook page, the Be Seen Digital Marketing Agency. It's ironic that as a digital marketer, I don't have a website or anything. Everything I've done has always been through referrals, which I'm really lucky that that's the way my business has grown. And I always say, like, one day I'm going to build a website. You know, I sit down to do it, and then I find something else that I'm going to be doing. So, yeah, so through Facebook's the easiest way. Or you can find, we started a Deal Mavens Instagram page. You can check that out as well. You can contact me on there. I check all of those all the time.
All right. Check her out on their Facebook page or go to the Deal Mavens Instagram page. Alexandra, thank you so much for coming on with us today.
Thanks, Adam. Appreciate it.